Emma asks me how I'm doing. I shrug, gaze into the distance with weary eyes, give her the lie that slips off my tongue like ice cream on a hot day. Good. I got a new job. Big money. Congratulations. Emma blinks 1, 2, 3, more like a flutter, her freckled face creased, squinting into the sunshine. She's waited until this moment to ask, 3 weeks after her wedding, as we stand on the ferry's upper deck, watching Seattle lurch closer. The wind slaps her wavy hair across one eye and she claws at the billowing strands, then tugs them behind a perfect ear. I hang my head, feel my shirt collar vibrate against my cheek. Mouth droops, my hurt look, one of my from my repertoire of imitations. You should have waited. Beneath our viewing platform, parked vehicles squat, penned like cattle corralled for slaughter. Beyond the bottle green bow, white water churns, angry and loud, like the voice in my head. I'm not getting what I want. Both Emma's hands grip the railing. They don't grip me. Why do you do this? A note of sharpness in her voice. There never was anyone but Dustin. She squeezes her lips together, stopping anything else she might have said. We're still friends. Just because I'm married doesn't mean... It doesn't matter. I don't care anymore. Emma turns, so her back rests against the rail. Hair crowds her face. All I can see is the tip of her nose. Don't spoil a great morning, she says. You haven't seen our new condo yet. Come take a look. We'll drink coffee and talk. It'll be like old times. It's as if her voice comes from the bottom of the sea. I don't see her. I don't see anything. Blindly, I raise a bald fist and slam it down. It hits the rail. She flinches. No, it won't, I yell. It will never be the same. Until then, I've been in control. Heads turn. People stare. What are you looking at? I sneer at a middle-aged woman in Jesus sandals, a metal water bottle dangling from her day pack. She looks away, then heads inside, creating what she must view as a safe distance between us. There is no safe distance. Emma's lips are parted, her pale brows raised. She takes a subtle step away from me. Gone is the camaraderie. Instead, there's fear in the black holes of her eyes. Em, I'm sorry. It sounds like a great idea, but she's raised a wall between us. Oh, no, you don't. I create puppy dog eyes. Please. Emma relents. She always relents, except over Dustin. I need the bathroom, I say. Won't be long. I duck inside so she can't see my unguarded euphoria, like I've smoked strong weed and my cheek muscles ache to laugh. Past the cafeteria, down internal stairs to the near-deserted car deck, where I won't be seen. Behind an empty bus, I stop, lean my elbows on the ferry's rail, allow the sea spray to cool my skin. Only now do I acknowledge the pain in my hand. For a while, when we were teenagers, Emma was the closest I had to a friend. Then one day she stepped out of our relationship as if fleeing my leaky inflatable boat and jumping onto a sleek yacht and set sail for calmer waters. That sleek yacht is Dustin. He isn't a freak. He remembers to gel his hair and brush his teeth and to ask her how she feels. From my pocket, I pull out my scuffed leather wallet with an unsightly bulge like a giant wart. I check that nobody can see, then slide my finger inside remove the bulge. In my palm is a yellowed tooth, a premolar to be exact, root and all, straggly threads of dried gum like prosciutto that's way past its expiry date. It had been an afterthought, a memento. I'm glad I kept it. I run the tip of my tongue over its ridges and dents, then trace the V-shaped route, licking the taste of her. And she's mine now, and so will Emma be.